Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in it.
This Good Friday. It's a good, good Friday. This is the day that we celebrate Jesus going to the cross, the crucifixion, because without it, there wouldn't be a resurrection to celebrate this Easter Sunday. Want to invite you to Celebration Tabernacle Church tonight for our Good Friday service beginning at 7 p.m., the seven last sayings of Jesus Christ, which is going to be taught by seven of our celebration members. So come on out for that service. It's always a time of great impact. And tomorrow at Celebration Tabernacle from 12 to 3, our children's church is having a community festival outside of the church. So it's a great time for families to come out together. It's going to be bounce houses, train ride, face painting, candy, different activities and such as we celebrate Jesus. It's a three-day party for a Celebration Tabernacle Church. Sunday we'll be at the Space Coast Convention Center for our Easter morning service. But we're having 3 days in a row of festivities, and we would like to see you there.
Come and enjoy the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and enjoy the grace, you know, that God bestowed upon each and every one of us, and the joy that God has given unto one of us, each and every one of us, around this time, this season. This is the season where we, the Christian, the redeemed, you know, the Bible said, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Let the redeemer of the Lord say what so. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Had he not gone to that cross, we wouldn't have this freedom, this right here. But through the resurrection power, through the shedding of his blood, we have freedom and liberty here through Jesus Christ. That's why I always declare, I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness that I have. By faith, I receive that. It's in my life. I'm clothed in his righteousness. I am justified because of his going to the cross, laying down his life so that the Father can look at me and declare me what? Just to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. That tomb is empty.
Yes.
And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. So our faith and our preaching isn't empty, but the tomb is empty. Jesus has risen. This Sunday, we will celebrate Jesus has risen.
Yes. We want to invite you all to come out. Please come out. Please invite your friend. Please talk to your friend and say, what are you doing on Resurrection Sunday? What are you doing on Easter Sunday? And find out what they're doing and says, will you? There is a great play called Follow the Yellow Brick Road at Celebration Tabernacle Church. They are having a tremendous play, Follow the Yellow Brick Road. And they are having it at the East Coast Convention Center, the Nassau on 520. So come at the Holiday Inn Express on 520 and 95, right here in Cocoa. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Come and find out where it lead on Easter Sunday morning. Please, here it is. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Tremendous play. You need to come and find out where it's lead, where it's end. If I follow it, where I'm going to end up? Well, we're not going to tell you today on this broadcast. You got to come and find out.
In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, it tells us, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats, bulls and goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Yeah. So this is talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, that when previously in the Old Testament, they would offer different types of offerings, the bulls, the goats, the heifers, and such unto the Lord for atonement. They would offer those things, and their sin was continually before them. So they had to continually bring their sacrifice year by year. They had to continually try to cover up their sin with their sacrifices that they brought forth. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ went to the cross on this day, Good Friday, that once and for all sin, he was the perfect sacrificial Passover lamb. And when they did Passover and such in the Old Testament, they would sprinkle the blood with hyssop. So when we go into John chapter 19 in verse 29, when Jesus is on the cross, it tells us now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So Jesus, he is, everything in the Old Testament is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. He once and for all, his blood was shed for all sin. Because after Jesus went to the cross on Good Friday, there was no other blood sacrifices that were given, initiated in the New Testament. It was done. It ceased when Jesus went to the cross. So the things of old, the atonement that they had to bring of old in the Old Testament, those things ceased. He was the once and for all sin sacrifice. So he died not only for the forgiveness of our sins, not only as the ransom to loose us from the hostage situation of the enemy, but also where we were in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, to cleanse our conscience from the dead work. So we don't have to continue to play the same tape in our head, the same tape of shame and disappointment and such. All of our sin, once and for all, through the blood of Jesus Christ, has been forgiven by the Father. And so when God looks at us, he sees us now justified, just as we never sinned, because the sin payment has been made in full. And this grace is extended onto all. And when Jesus was on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, it gives us a illustration, a picture of what took place. When he was on the cross, there were two other people on the crosses beside him. And both of those were criminals. They were being crucified for crimes which they committed. Jesus was crucified, but he was innocent of any crime in the land. And even the authorities that he was presented before, up until the crucifixion, they all said, well, we can't find no fault in him. We can't find no fault in him.
Right.
We can't find no fault in him. But it was the opinions of the people that swayed them to continue to the direction of the crucifixion, even though there was no legal ground of charges that were proven against him. So he wasn't guilty. We were guilty. He surrendered his life and he went in place of us to the cross. So now surrounding him on either side are the criminals. So in Luke chapter 23, verse 39 says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemized him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us.
Yes. Yeah.
But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds.
Yeah.
But this man has done nothing wrong. So when we commonly you see the images of the three crosses. So that's what's being that's representing what's taking place here in the text. You have the two criminals, one on either side of Jesus, and they have contrary opinions. One of them understands that he's up there, that he's on the cross, and he is still blaspheming. He's still going against Jesus, saying, if you're the Christ, save yourself and save us. But then the other says, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So here is this man being crucified because of his own crime. And he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So he didn't say, well, if you would have did things different. He didn't say, well, if you figure out how to get out of this and then you go and do 15 Hail Marys and 30 Our Fathers. No, he said, as assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So where did Jesus find that surety to be able to tell him? Because he knew that through his blood, their sin was being paid for. And as long as the man, he was willing to accept that, then he would receive that free gift of salvation unto him.
This is an encouraging thought for today. Hope. It's like an anchor for our souls. It's a certainty, a joyful and confident expectation. This is what God has given us in Christ, a confident expectation that in him we have everything to live for and everything we live to need. We need to live. As Resurrection Sunday approaches, let's remember that we serve a good God no matter what our circumstances are. His love for us is immense, and there aren't any human words to describe it. His promises are all that we could ever hope for on this side of life.
He's given each and every one of us great promise, given each and every one of us great purpose, ordained. It's before you were formed in your mother's womb, Bible says that he knew you, that he already preordained, he already appointed, he already assigned you into purpose into the earth. So we break every spirit of condemnation, every veil of shame. And that Jesus, when he went to the cross, it says that the curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. So there is nothing that separates us from the love of God. There is nothing to keep us back from boldly going to his throne in order to find mercy and grace in our time of need. We hope to see you tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. Make your day count.